Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Wednesday. It's March 20th, 2024. Hope you're doing well on a Wednesday. So great to have you listening to the EWTN, as you just heard, Global Catholic Radio Network. Coming up after the break, I think you'll enjoy our live segments with my friend, Dr. Monica Miller. She is from my home area of southeastern Michigan, and she is a theologian. She's an author and a speaker, and she's been a regular guest on many of our programs here, not only Catholic Connection and Crest in the Afternoon, but she's been featured on, of course, Bookmark with Doug Keck. And speaking of that, she's going to be revisiting her powerful book that she wrote based on the movie The Passion of the Christ, taking a look at the theology. It's actually called Theology of the Passion. So she is a real person who loves theater and also studied theater in college. And so she has a beautiful perspective on what I think is still the best picture ever about our Lord's Passion. But that's just my personal opinion. We're also going to talk to Monica because she's such a pro-life warrior working with the Citizens for Pro-Life Society for so many decades, getting an update on what's happening with these different drugstores as in Walgreens and CVS soon becoming, basically abortion facilities because they're going to be giving out or prescribing the abortion pills. And now we've already discussed that a little bit yesterday. If you remember in the news, we mentioned the stories that were in the Catholic News Agency and the Register regarding the USCCB putting out a very powerful letter calling for prayer, because we know next week the Supreme Court is taking up the issue in terms of how far can these pharmacies go in terms of getting these pills out there. God help us. I mean, it's just, it's like being out of a horror film. I don't know what else to say. You literally think you can go to your local drugstore, maybe get, some medicine, some cough medicine, some Band-Aids, right? You get a prescription, you get home. It's so convenient. Many of them are open 24/7. Now, I mean, I don't know about you. This is my own personal opinion, but I'm not going to shop there anymore. And the thing is, they're practically on every corner. Think about that. It's frightening. But, we could speak our minds and we can speak with our pocketbooks, right? And so we'll talk about that with Dr. Monica Miller as well. And then the one, the only Joni is going to be joining us. Joan Lewis, of course, from EW10 and the Vatican. She'll be giving us an update, including the latest on this new book, the new bio about St. Francis, Pope Francis. She actually has read a few excerpts from it, so she'll share that with us as well. As far as the forecast is concerned, according to the National Weather Service, we have a cold front continuing to produce lake-effect snow downwind of Lake Ontario and snow that will spread across portions of the interior northeast and New England, and that's through tomorrow. We also have strong gusty winds and dry air that may produce elevated fire weather conditions across portions of the Mid-Atlantic and the Southern Plains today. So that's a weather forecast and the rundown for today on a Wednesday, the middle of the week, moving into Holy Week. When did that happen? I don't know. It's gone by so fast. Or as I always say, maybe it's just because time is going more quickly because we're all getting older, myself included at the top of that list. All right, let's and get right to the news because there's a lot of news. It's 3 minutes past the hour, and we are going to take a look at what's happening right now in and around the world on your Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection right here on EWTN. Holy Father releasing his message for the 61st World Day of Prayer for Vocations, which will be celebrated next month on April 21st, about a month from now. And as Devin Watkins with Vatican News explains, the Pope is urging Christians to welcome our shared vocation to sow the seeds of hope and peace in the world.
Focused on the theme, called to sow seeds of hope and to build peace, the Pope's message says all Christians are called to welcome our God-given vocation to serve Him in the world, whether it be through the consecrated life, the priesthood, marriage, or even as a single person. Gratitude, he said, should characterize World Vocations Day celebrations as we recall the countless Christians who serve God in all walks of life. He especially invited young people to make room for God so that they might find happiness in His call, which always respects our freedom. Pope Francis went on to invite Christians to be pilgrims of hope as the Church journeys toward the 2025 Jubilee. The World Day of Prayer for Vocations, he said, has a synodal character. Amid the variety of our charisms, we are called to listen to one another and to journey together in order to discern where the Spirit is leading us for the benefit of all. The Pope also urged everyone to pray for vocations to the priesthood and religious life so that the Lord may send out laborers into his harvest.
A new study showing nearly 2 in 3 abortions performed in this country are medication abortions. The Guttmacher Institute study looked at last year, which was the first full calendar year after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. 63%, up 10 percentage points from 2020, when medication abortions accounted for just over half of abortions in the United States. And Mark Mayfield talks about that ruling that we discussed earlier in Texas, a federal appeals court putting that Texas immigration law back on hold.
Late Tuesday night, a 3-judge panel at the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals voted 2-1 against an earlier ruling from another panel that put the law titled SB 4 into effect. SB 4 would allow local police to arrest anyone that they suspect of crossing the border illegally. Arguments are set to be heard Wednesday morning on Texas' request to put the law back into effect.
Early in the day, meanwhile, yesterday, the Supreme Court had cleared the way for the immigration law, dealing a victory to the Republican Governor Greg Abbott and encouraging other Republican lawmakers in other states that are pushing for similar measures. Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump easily winning the presidential primaries in Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio yesterday. Both have already secured the nominations of their respective parties, and the attention then shifting to a handful of down-ballot races. John Fink tells us a trial date is now set for the 22-year-old Navy sailor facing charges for allegedly spying for Chinese intelligence.
Jingxiao Wei is accused of sharing photos, videos, and more than 50 manuals of U.S. military intel with Chinese intelligence. His trial date is now set for December 5th. The Justice Department charged Wei under a rarely used Espionage Act law, and he pleaded not guilty. He's one of 2 California-based sailors accused of accepting bribes in exchange for sending military information to China.
Families of students killed in the 2021 Oxford, Michigan high school shooting are urging the state attorney general to investigate potential wrongdoing by school officials. The parents say a third-party investigation did not go far enough and did not provide answers they wanted due to school officials having governmental immunity. And in New York State, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman is taking action to protect what's believed to be the first in the nation ban on transgender athletes from competing in women's sports. New York Attorney General Letitia James issued a cease and desist order over the ban, but Blakeman met with his lawyers, who says what he's doing is indeed constitutional.
And we initiated a federal lawsuit against Attorney General James to stop her from trying to enforce her cease and desist order. And that is now in the federal court in the Eastern District, and a judge will make a determination.
Blakeman says banning biological men from competing in female sports, meanwhile, protects the female athletes.
They can compete in co-ed leagues, and I would welcome them if they wanted to form a transgender league. We're very welcoming here in Nassau County. This is not anti-trans. This is pro-women, pro-girls, and protecting them.
The county is also fighting a lawsuit against the New York Civil Liberties Union. And it looks like the Congress will be able to avoid a partial government shutdown. Aliva Talley says a deal helps avoid some major headaches.
Any kind of shutdown, especially when you're talking about places like the Department of Homeland Security, they house TSA. That would make airports very difficult. The implications of this partial shutdown would be palpable, and so it's important to avert it.
Congressional leaders striking a deal with the White House on a bill to fund the Department of Homeland Security, which was a major sticking point in the negotiations to pass 6 major spending bills by Friday night's deadline. House Speaker Mike Johnson announcing the deal yesterday, adding that the House and Senate will take the legislation up as soon as possible. The deal would fund the government through the end of the fiscal year. And Cubans are protesting the lack of power and food as inflation soars there over 30%. Cuba's leaders blame the shortages on U.S. sanctions, but critics blame the Cuban regime and the firing of its economic advisor.
The economy is worse today than it was 3 years ago. So what is the Cuban government doing to correct this? Absolutely nothing.
That's Dr. Andy Gomez at the University of Miami, who says the Cuban government just bought millions of dollars worth of food, questioning where did it go. The U.S. has maintained an economic embargo against Cuba since 1960. The head of the FAA says Boeing must shift its focus to improve safety standards. In an interview with NBC News, FAA Administrator Michael Whitaker said Boeing's safety protocols are not what would be expected if safety is the first priority.
There are issues around the safety culture in Boeing, that their priorities have been on production and not on safety and quality.
His comments come after the FAA conducted an audit of Boeing, the audit taking place after the door plug on a Boeing 737 MAX 9 airplane operated by Alaska Air blew out while in the air. A number of other incidents involving Boeing aircraft have happened in recent weeks, including a tire falling off after takeoff. A spring break warning from Florida's Attorney General yesterday, who dropped by the world's most famous beach.
We lead the nation for those who overdose while on vacation. And that is a stat that we want to change.
From Daytona Beach, Ashley Moody said deadly levels of fentanyl are turning up in various narcotics. Moody also promoted a program that provides free access to the anti-opioid overdose medication, Naloxone. And tax season doesn't have to be a stressful time. That's according to Eric Smith with the IRS, who says there are simple ways to alleviate anxiety and stress, including requesting a six-month tax extension if you know you'll need one.
There's no downside or black mark to doing that. About 1 in 10 taxpayers typically get an extension every year, and they do so for a variety of reasons. If you do so, it's just not a problem.
Smith says you can also arrange a payment plan if you don't believe you can pay money owed right away. If you qualify for a short-term payment plan, you will not be liable for a user fee. He also says a variety of free tax filing resources can be found by visiting the IRS website. And drug maker AstraZeneca capping out-of-pocket costs for its asthma medicine now at $35 per month. And that's huge news for some patients who spend hundreds of dollars for the inhalers.
When we're prescribing inhalers, we have no idea what's going to happen on the pharmacy side, like how much the patient is going to end up having to pay.
That's Dr. Erica Gonzalez, who is an asthma doctor in Texas. She says the cheaper cost means patients will be more likely to take the correct dosage. High drug prices have been in the political spotlight. It was earlier this year that a group of senators criticized the top four manufacturers of inhalers. AstraZeneca sells their medication for $645 here in the U.S., but just $49 in the U.K. And Aaron Riel tells us the biggest potential disruption to the real estate industry may be from, yeah, you probably guessed it, artificial intelligence.
Experts predict that a well-trained AI model could potentially provide a better, more reliable service than most human brokers at a fraction of the cost. An AI trained on the actions of a very good broker would be able to forward new listings to clients within seconds of them appearing, speed up the collection of documentation and payments needed for closings, and answer questions in a conversational style 24 hours a day. It's never been clear that the value to the buyer is commensurate with the amount that brokers are paid, and if a robot can provide 80% of the value at 1% of the price, that's a bargain many will likely embrace.
It's a Wednesday morning. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN and Catholic Connection. This program, of course, co-produced by both EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Don't forget all the resources. We're all about the resources, especially during these special liturgical seasons when there's so much to learn and so many ways to grow in our relationship with Jesus and the church. EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Okay, one more crack at the weather in case you tuned in a little bit late. National Weather Service says we have a cold front continuing to produce lake effect snow. And aren't we starting spring either today or tomorrow, right? Some parts it doesn't feel like that. Lake effect snow, downwind of Lake Ontario, and snow spreading across portions of the interior northeast and New England through tomorrow. And strong gusty winds and dry air may produce elevated fire weather conditions across portions of the mid-Atlantic and the Southern Plains, and that will happen today. We look forward to your listenership every single day. Thank you for your support. We'll be right back, and we'll meet with an amazing moral theologian and pro-life warrior. She's also an author. And years ago, when the movie The Passion came out, she wrote a book about it. She's also studied theater. She's incredible. Dr. Monica Miller, she's also going to bring us up to date on some planned protests of the pharmacies, as in Walgreens and CVS, as they get ready to start allowing the prescriptions to be filled at their pharmacies for the abortion pills. Yep. We'll be right back.
Wherever you are in the world, you can access the EWTN Global Catholic Network. It's everywhere. You can get EWTN's great Catholic programming on your car radio, at home on your TV, computer, or smart speaker. With EWTN's app, you can take EWTN everywhere on your phone or mobile device. If you want your news in print, turn to EWTN's paper of record, the National Catholic Register. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
It's a Wednesday. It is March 20th. Good to be with you on EWTN's Catholic Connection, co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Dr. Monica Miller is from Ave Maria Radio territory in southeastern Michigan, and she's a regular guest on this program and many others. And Monica, I can't believe we're going into Holy Week very soon, but I'm so excited to visit your book again. I cannot believe the movie, The Passion, about which you wrote in your beautiful book, the movie's been out for, we were talking about this a few weeks ago, it's been out for 20 years now. Good morning,
yeah,
thanks for joining us.
The 20th anniversary, exactly.
Wow. Yes. Wow.
It doesn't seem like 20 years has gone by, but it has. It's very, very incredible.
Well, let's revisit your book. What prompted you to take a look at the movie from a theological perspective and then write about it?
Well, as you mentioned, I have a degree in theater, and I I've always had a very deep interest in films. I love movies, and I thought, wow, well, this would be the perfect opportunity for me to put my theology degree into work with my interest in film, and it was just the perfect fit. And so I decided to write the theology of the Passion of the Christ.
Right.
And you know, the movie, I would argue, is the most theologically informed movie about Jesus. And that's saying a lot. I do have at the end of my book, I have a chapter where I compare what Gibson did in The Passion of the Christ with other movies about Jesus, King of Kings, for example, and the Gospel according to St. Matthew, for example, and so on, so people can kind of see, well, you know, where does this movie rank, okay, in terms of its insight into the life of our Lord. So mm-hmm. that's what I wanted to do.
Well, King of Kings, and you and I, you know, are old enough to remember the movie. They would always play those during, you know, Holy Week or at that time of year. The networks would feature so many different films based on the life of Christ or the Passion or the Old Testament as well, Ten Commandments and whatnot. And
right.
King of Kings, I thought, was well done. But then you compare it theologically to the Passion. And also, I think so many other movies paled in comparison in terms of our Lord's suffering on the cross.
Well, that's quite right. This movie goes where no other film has ever gone, and I maybe some of your viewers are aware, but if not, let me make them aware, that Gibson borrowed a lot of what's in his movie from Anne Catherine Emmerich, mm-hmm. the Dolorous Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ, her meditations and her visions. And actually, I was rather, I was even kind of shocked, because I knew that he had used her work for his movie. But I would say 70% of what's in The Passion of the Christ is from her book, The Dolorous Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I have a whole chapter on what's in the movie that's from her book. So it was pretty amazing, actually.
It's become a film, I think, that many of us watch purposely. And sometimes a lot of people watch it on Good Friday or at least sometime during Holy Week. I still cannot get through the scourging scene. I've seen it so many times, but I still can't get through that scene without putting the covers over my head. It's just unbelievably hard to watch.
Well, even the very famous movie critic Roger Ebert, who has watched, you know, a million movies, and many of them very violent movies, he even said this is the most violent movie ever made. And I'm going to say this is not a movie for children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe teenagers, possibly, but this is an incredibly intense film, and I could even argue that the theme of this movie is blood. I mean, you know, blood is splashed, blood is spattered, blood is pooled, blood is a theme of in this movie for sure. And you have so many incredible new images that lead us to understand and appreciate the suffering of our Lord.
In terms of now being 20 years later, how do you look at the film in terms of what it means to you as a pro-life warrior, as a devout Catholic? What do you get from the film 20 years after its release, Monica?
Well, I still find it enormously moving. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody who could watch this film and not just burst out in tears. For example, what I'm going to talk about here, a great insight, a theological insight. So, for example, when Jesus is already dead on the cross, one of the soldiers, of course, pierces our Lord, his side, with mm-hmm. a spear, right? Now, What do we expect to happen if we are, of course, familiar with the Gospel of John? Blood and water flowed out, right, of mm-hmm. that wound. But what you have in the Gibson movie is a shower of body fluids that just keep pouring out of the side of our Lord. And actually hit that soldier right in the face, and that's from Anne Catherine Emmerich, by the way. That soldier had an astigmatism in her work, and he is cured of that ailment when the blood and the water flow or at least shower out of our Lord's body. Now, why is that a theological insight? Because what Gibson is saying is that what pours out from the body of Christ is it keeps coming. It's copious. It never ends, and it's full, and it's everything that our Lord gives. He gives everything. In fact, you could even compare it to a movie that came out shortly after the Passion of the Christ, and it was the Gospel of John. So the movie, The Gospel of John, is a literal word-for-word mounting of the Gospel of John in film. When those filmmakers get to that particular scene, It is indeed a trickle of blood and water that come out of that wound. You see the enormous difference right there in the statement that Gibson is making about what it means for our Lord to have given up his life on the cross.
Yeah, I still find it, as you said, extremely moving. And it's just one of those things I think that when you incorporate it into your Holy Week exercises, I think it just brings everything home for us.
Right, and this is a very Marian film as well. Mm-hmm. I've even given some talks on how, what is the role of Our Lady in the Gibson movie. And he's doing stuff no other filmmaker has ever done. Even in a really, really good movie, which is Jesus of Nazareth, the Franco Zeffirelli 1976 TV miniseries, is a very, very good movie. But even there, Mary is passive. Mary is, in a way.
Monica, hold that thought. We're going to get cut off by the satellite break. We'll wrap up your thoughts on the film and then move into another area of your expertise, pro-life. Dr. Monica Miller joining us on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The Sixth Commandment: You shall not commit adultery. This commandment is wide-ranging in its implications. It forbids us not only from committing the very act of adultery, but also other sexual sins such as fornication or premarital sex, watching pornography, and speaking lewdly. Likewise, homosexual acts and acts of masturbation are also forbidden us. And the Lord himself even enjoins us to a purity of mind that we should not freely entertain lustful thoughts. And so it's wide-ranging, it's challenging. But it's in service of the great sacredness of human life, which comes from sexual activity. So we thank God for this great gift of sexuality, and we ask for his grace to live it with great reverence. The Sixth Commandment: You shall not commit adultery.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcha.
St. John Paul's theology of the body teaches us that having healthy relationships means cooperating with God's design of our bodies. Research tells us that kids' brains can't learn and integrate new behaviors when they're stressed, upset, distracted, or scared. Have you ever felt like everything you tell your kids goes in one ear and out the other? Well, are you telling them those things when they're stressed, upset, distracted, or scared? That might be your answer. Discipleship discipline, an approach inspired by St. John Bosco, gives parents strategies to help their kids calm down first so they can learn what their parents are trying to teach them. Discipleship discipline is an important part of the liturgy of domestic church life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Wrapping up our discussion with author, theologian, pro-life warrior, Dr. Monica Miller, the first segment talking about her beautiful book, The Theology of the Passion of the Christ. And, of course, 20 years since that powerful film was released into theaters across the country and around the world, starring Jim Caviezel as the Lord. And, of course, behind the scenes, we had Mel Gibson. I couldn't think of his name. Escape me for a minute. Monica, I wanted to let you to wrap up your thoughts before we move on to the pro-life discussions about Mary and how our Blessed Mother was, the differences and how she's portrayed in the various films you were mentioning.
Well, as I mentioned, it's a very good movie, Jesus of Nazareth. But Mary is essentially portrayed there at the crucifixion as a passive, helpless onlooker of her son's suffering. Very, very different, very, very different in the Passion of the Christ. Mary aids Jesus. She enables her son to accomplish his salvific mission. And she's anything but passive. There are four instances in the movie. If you watch the movie very carefully, you will see Mary helps him to continue his suffering, and it's an enormously important Marian insight that we have, new and fresh and different way of seeing Mary in relation to her son, helping him to accomplish his mission. It's enormously insightful.
Yeah. Where do we get your book before we move on to our next topic, The Theology of the Passion?
Well, it's Alba House is the publisher, but it's put out through St. Paul's Media. So if you just look up their website, St. Paul's Media, you can get a copy of the book, and of course, you know, other places on the internet. So if you just Googled The Theology of the Passion of the Christ, various vendors will have it.
Yep, I would highly recommend it. All right, moving right along, now we're dealing with, and it's been making the news because of the Supreme Court case coming up next week, and also we're seeing that different pharmacies, including CVS and Walgreens, are now going to be making the abortion pills available. And there are some nationwide, well, I should say protests. I know we have some coming up in Michigan, but there's also some prayer efforts, an opportunity for us to let people know what's going on happening around the country, correct?
Yes, this is a nationwide event. It's happening next Tuesday, so that would be March 26th, and that is the day that the Supreme Court is going to be hearing arguments regarding the, you know, maybe, possibly even ruling that the abortion pills will be illegal because of the lack of regulation. A lot of damage could be done, and is already being done, actually, to women who are taking the abortion pills to kill their unborn children. So CVS and Walgreens have made a corporate decision that they will dispense the abortion drugs. So we've teamed up with the Pro-Life Action League in Chicago for mm-hmm. these nationwide demonstrations. So if all people need to do is go to abortionpillprotest.com, super simple, abortionpillprotest.com, and you can click on, you can find where in your locality these demonstrations, these protests are already organized, or you can organize one yourself. So you can click on host a protest or find a protest. And there's going to be possibly 100 of these demonstrations right outside of these pharmacies on March 26th. And, of course, we do have, since we live in Michigan, we do have some already planned in Michigan. For example, at 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, at 6 Mile Road and Newburgh in Livonia, there will be a demonstration that will be led by Lynn Mills of Pro-Life Michigan. And then at 4:30 that same day, if you don't want to go to the 10 o'clock, you can go to the 4:30 at 5 Mile Road and Newburgh, and that's the CVS. But again, just go to the website, click on Find a Protest, and we hope that people will come out. There's suggestions for signs and what to put on signs. There's going to be banners. There's going to be leaflets for, you know, so if there are pedestrians or motorists, we can hand out leaflets and let people know.
See, that's the thing. I'm glad you're doing that because a lot of people might not even be aware. We think, you know, we are in the pro-life movement or we're concerned with pro-life issues, and so we read a lot about it. But there, you know, I have a feeling that even though this is making news in our world, the media would try to poo-poo this or kind of go under the radar with this because this is all for their agenda and they don't want to hurt these companies. But people need to know when they're walking in there what they're supporting.
Well, and if at all possible, boycott Walgreens and CVS. Try to find an alternative. And right. I've even called some pharmacies, you know, not every single pharmacy necessarily that's connected with CVS or Walgreens will be, but you got to call. You got to call the pharmacies and ask them flat out. Are you going to be dispensing the abortion chemical abortion drugs? And because we need to take responsibility for what we're doing.
It just is so. I don't know how to describe it. It used to be where you would just be going by or praying outside an abortion mill. And you know, you go by and you're making the sign of the cross because you know what's inside, or Planned Parenthood facility,
right,
or whatever. Now you're passing for the most part, and again, you don't know if everyone is connected to this, but now you're passing something, Monica, on every corner, a Walgreens, a CVS.
I know. It's it has taken the killing of the unborn to a whole nother level.
It's
sadly to say. And the thing is that, you know, the particular dangers to what's going on here. So, for example, a doctor will prescribe these drugs, misoprostol and mifepristone are the two drugs. Now, the thing that people need to realize is that misoprostol that is not the killer drug, okay? Misoprostol could be used for other ailments, but the drug in combination is the issue. So the misoprostol is really the thing that causes the unborn child to die. So a pharmacy might say, well, we're going to be distributing the misoprostol. Okay, well, that could be justified, but it's the combination that people, and it's just so easy. Just go on the internet, you'll find out how to spell these words, how to say these words, and make inquiries at your local pharmacy.
Well, plus you've got the information on the website you mentioned.
Yeah,
give us that website
exactly
one more time.
Yeah, it's abortionpillprotest.com. Super easy.
Yeah. Monica, thank you for all you're doing and your tireless efforts to speak up for life and your great work as a writer and a speaker and a theologian. And we'll also have to have you or Lynn on in the local hour next week to remind our Michigan folks about the events coming up in southeastern Michigan. We've got a couple, as Monica said, in my area, in our area, but also in yours. Check out abortionpillprotest.com. We go to Rome next with our own Joni, an update on what's happening at the Vatican. Stay tuned. More Catholic Connection coming your way right here on EWTN. Stay tuned.
When we speak of blessing in prayer, what exactly do we mean? The Catholic Catechism defines blessing as a basic movement of Christian prayer, an encounter between God and man. God's gift and man's acceptance of that gift are united in dialogue with each other. God blesses, and the human heart can respond to bless the one who is the source of every blessing. The Catechism states that two fundamental forms express this movement. Human prayer ascends in the Holy Spirit through Christ to the Father, and it implores the grace of the Holy Spirit, which descends through Christ from the Father. Adoration, says the Catechism, is man's first attitude, acknowledging that he is a creature before his Creator. It exalts the God who made us and the almighty power of the Savior who sets us free from evil. It is the homage of the Spirit to the King of Glory. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, "Don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach." Jesus' answer was, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart." Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Hold on. Wrapping up a Wednesday morning, heading to the Eternal City of Rome as we move toward a pretty exciting time, always in the Eternal City leading into Holy Week, our own Joan Lewis. So we had the audience today and, of course, the Holy Father. We've already heard about his schedule for next week. What is the latest, Madir, from Rome? Good morning, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Well, hi. It's always good to be with you, with an update on, you know, maybe 150 or 60 topics. But our time is limited. But it's so interesting that the audience, because I haven't been in person in a while, but I've watched it, and you sometimes can see a lot more on the television coverage. But once again, Teresa, I don't know what week this is, but the Pope did not read the catechesis at today's Wednesday audience in a very sunny St. Peter's Square. There was a priest and assistant from the Secretary of State who, as he did last week, also read the catechesis. And then there were, you know, Vatican staff members, employees who read the language versions. But, I mean, that happens every week. Now, interestingly enough, the Pope did come out into the square in the white Jeep. And, of course, he's going to get into that Jeep at the Santa Marta in the Vatican. But the interesting thing is, if you go online to Vatican.va on a Wednesday and you go to the catechesis on the audience, there's a full video of the audience, and then there's a whole bunch of pictures. But one thing that the Vatican television does, and so EWTN, when they show you the audience on TV, it's the Vatican filmmakers who provide that. But they never show the Pope getting in and out of, at least not for the last week or so, he gets in, apparently with great difficulty. He gets into the Jeep at the Santa Marta, nobody sees that. He comes in, he went around the square today for about 8 or 9 minutes, and then the Jeep brought him up to just behind the stage area. But you never see the Holy Father getting out of the Jeep, on film, getting out of the Jeep. And so you never have any idea of how he's doing. But I've forgotten now whether it was last week or 2 weeks ago. He was supposed to go around the square again, leave St. Peter's Square in the white Jeep, but he could not get in. There's only two steps. And there was a video, several different outlets had video, and there's only two steps to get in the back of the Jeep and then sit there, and then there's room, mm-hmm. as we saw today. He occasionally has young kids sitting in the Jeep with him. So today, they did not bring the Jeep back up onto the stage area, but when the audience was over, and I just re-saw it a few minutes ago, when the audience was over, they brought the wheelchair. So that in itself is an interesting development. And then they don't show him usually getting in and out of his white throne-like seat, or, you know, they'll show him walking. They don't show him getting out, for example, of the Jeep, but they'll show him out of the Jeep and walking to maybe greet some people. And it's very interesting, by the way, the whole staging area, if you want to call it that. I think as our listeners know from video or if they've been at an audience, if you're in the square looking up at the Pope, there's two groups of people in special seats to his right and to his left. Lately, there have been very few people in those. And really? One on the left-hand side wasn't even half filled today. And then on the right-hand side, they've moved the newlywed couples up to that area. They're in the back of it, but still, you know. So this is an interesting configuration. That's interesting that the Pope, you know, it's not interesting, that's not the right word, but that the Pope still has, you know, mobility issues and obviously issues about talking. And if he's having someone else read all the catechesis. At the very end, it probably was only 2 minutes or something like that, in his greetings in Italian, his voice sounded okay, and he only read that for 2 or 3 minutes. So short periods of talking are not impossible. Last Sunday he did the Angelus, but it was only about 8 or 9 minutes, and you probably know it's normally 15, sometimes 20. So,
right.
You just, you know, have to follow.
What's interesting, though, is that you and I both know when we tell people about the audience, we tell them to give themselves plenty of time for it, you know, especially if it's out in St. Peter's Square, to get there early, you know, because people line up, you have to sit. And then afterward, you can't leave until the Holy Father leaves because of security. And sometimes he will have, a large group of people that he's meeting and greeting, which then adds more time onto your, you know, audience, the schedule you have, maybe if you're trying to get to another tour in the afternoon. So if there's not as many people, that means he's not greeting as many people then.
Well, right? There's people in that select area to his right and left, but it usually the people that line up to greet him are cardinals and bishops. Today, I think there were 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes if it's a head of state or government, they have their own private audience. But normally it's prelates who stand in line. But you're right. You know, as we get closer to Easter, of course, bishops are going to be in their own diocese for Easter. But after Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, going into the summer, you're going to have huge crowds of bishops, right, and cardinals. So it'll be interesting. But, I mean, the changes that the Pope has to make in his life, he's been making for quite some time. We have no idea, Teresa, the last time he said Mass. For example, excuse me, I have something in my throat. because
that's okay.
The first time we saw him in a wheelchair was May 5th, 2 years ago. So, you know, it's been a long time. If I don't think he says Mass in his own chapel. He probably is there every morning, for heaven's sakes, and he may give a homily, but I'm guessing he's not the one who actually stands for the Mass, the liturgy of the Eucharist, and everything else. But
yeah,
the Holy See doesn't talk.
Yeah. So what's the latest?
Learn.
Yeah. Another note I wanted to ask you about before we run out of time, only about 6 minutes left. But what about the bio? What have you heard? Now, you said you read excerpts from it, correct?
Yes, I did read just a few excerpts, but because I don't have the whole book yet. But it's very interesting because the Pope, he talks about quite a number of issues, and talks about his health. He's not going to resign. And but I think of the things that he talks about in the book, whose title is Life, My Story in History, a lot of the stories that he told about himself, his early years in Argentina, growing up, et cetera, are stories that we have heard that he himself has told or that have come out in interviews with journalists. But I think perhaps one of the more interesting things is we heard Francis say for years about the wise grandfather, that Benedict, when he was alive, you know, how he was in the great relationship. Well, it turns out it wasn't that great. So Archbishop Ganschwein wrote, he had already said it wasn't that great. Dieter Siewald has confirmed that. But it was really not all a bed of roses. That harmony. The Pope says in the book, he and Benedict, decided together it would be better for him not to live in hiding, as he had initially hypothesized, but to see people and participate in the life of the Church. Unfortunately, it was of little use, this is still Francis, because there has been no shortage of controversy in 10 years, and it has hurt both of us. So that's kind of sad, but two men who were so diametrically opposed, in their teaching.
What was the controversy? What's the controversy with the relationship? Does it give any hints on that?
Well, he just wrote that, you know, because there were so many things over the 11 years and people doubting Benedict's, was it confirmed that he really resigned, et cetera, et cetera. But he said that several things that were said by or written by, very little, of course, about Benedict in the years he was in the Vatican, he said that has caused the Pope was exploited for ideological and political purposes by unscrupulous people who, not having accepted his resignation, thought of their own advantage and their own garden to cultivate. So, but apparently he did use the words, he speaks of introducing measures that broke the heart, quotation marks, of his predecessor. And the Pope did say he was not afraid of a schism. So, I mean, it's very, very interesting. We probably heard more about the excerpts from the book about his health, saying, you know, I have no intention to resign. But he has written a letter, we know that if anything were to happen, that he literally could would no longer function, then his resignation is already on paper. I mean, it, only in that sense. So,
interesting.
I'll have to get the whole book and see what it's about and what stories he tells about his youth. He talks about a girl he fell in love with and in his young years. So, but again, that was a story that we'd heard. We heard that he hasn't watched television since 1990, July. And this has to do with a promise apparently made to the Virgin of Carmel. And
Really? Wow. Well,
yeah. I hadn't realized it was a promise. Well, because that's her feast day, July 15th. And so 1990, you know. And then again, he's given TV interviews, and we know at one point he, you know, had some negative words about EWTN, but how could he know? He doesn't watch TV.
Right. He doesn't watch TV. I was wondering about that, too. I mean, but I didn't realize it had been that long, since 1990. Yeah. Wow.
Exactly. So, I mean,
I was wondering how he could say anything negative about anything
years.
When he hasn't watched TV. Yeah. In 34 years. That's very interesting. Yeah. Wow. You know, the other thing I found interesting as an Italian American. Go ahead.
Pardon me?
No, I said go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead. Are you there?
No. I was just going to say, basically, you know, the thing is, if he expresses an opinion about a television, it must mean he got it from somebody else. Because, I mean, how am I going to criticize French national television if I don't have a way to see it, to look at the news, to see their entertainment, et cetera, but to get their editorial line. But if I have to rely on somebody else, it's going to be their view of French national television or whatever we're talking about. So that was very interesting, but I found it even more interesting that it was this promise made to the Virgin of Carmel. Now, whether the book actually, because I saw that in a summary, whether the book actually goes into more detail about that, I guess we got to pick it up. It came out yesterday, of course, the Feast of St. Joseph, very dear to the Holy Father. So, you know.
Yeah, well, Feast of St. Joseph, also Father's Day in Italy, right?
Oh, yes, which I have always loved. I did a little note about that on my appearance on Jim and Joy, on their show on Monday at home with Jim and Joy, because they talked about the meaning in the church and in our lives of St. Joseph. I don't have enough time to go into it also. I just spoke about the personal level. But I certainly love the idea that he was, you know, what a perfect day, Father's Day. And St. Joseph, the most amazing putative father that there ever was. And so much to learn about him, because we don't know a thing from the, we know very little, if anything, from the Bible. We don't have a single spoken word of St. Joseph from the Bible. So to try and piece his life together, I did a lot of reading in the 2021 year of St. Joseph, and learned about him, and he got to the top of my list of favorites very, very, very quickly.
Amen.
Oh, and he's on my
Go
list.
To Joseph.
He's on.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful saint. All right, my dear, we're going to let you take a little break with that voice and get some water. I know what it's like to have something in your throat. I'm going to make sure you're okay. So go ahead, take the break, and we will talk to you next week. Joan Lewis, of course, live from the Eternal City of Rome. And then next week, going into, of course, we'll just be starting the Triduum on Thursday, but she'll be with us on Wednesday for all the details. We'll be right back to wrap up this particular program on a Wednesday and let you know what's coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned.
EWTN Radio is seeking a dynamic radio producer to join the EWTN Radio team in Irondale, Alabama. The right candidate will be a passionate, multi-skilled, talented professional who can manage and direct all aspects of producing world-class programming and play an integral part in Mother Angelica's mission. If this is you or someone you know, email a resume and cover letter, including salary requirements, to humanresources@ewtn.com.
My wife Janet's ancestors arrived in America on the Mayflower, but we never knew that the Catholic missionaries arrived in Florida 50 years earlier. Visit the site where the cross was first planted, where Mass was celebrated, and the first Marian shrine in the New World. Renew baptismal vows in the cathedral and its first baptismal font. Hope you can join us in La Florida, the land of flowers.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thanks for tuning in on Wednesday and every day here at EWTN. Coming up tomorrow, it's a Thursday, which means we will be chatting with Father Mitch. He's back with us for Cultural Connections. How to make the most out of Holy Week and the rest of Lent. That's what we shall discuss with the good Father Mitch. And then we're also going to be discussing a way to give during Lent as we wrap up this beautiful season with our friends at Cross Catholic Outreach. So again, jot it down on your calendar for tomorrow's edition of Catholic Connection. Father Mitch and Cross Catholic Outreach. Ciao, ciao. We'll talk to you then, God willing, on domani.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.